this piece of filet mignon?
The Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've identified these five teams. One of them is Miami. Would Denver do this? Do the Bears go for it? What about the Los Angeles Rams? What about Dallas? You want to get Jonathan Taylor?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Oregon State head coach Jonathan Smith. Still to come, Packers beat writer for The Athletic, Matt Schneidman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Jeff Passan of ESPN about what in the world is going to happen with Shohei Ohtani, his best guess, just a day after Ohtani blew out his pitching elbow, it appears, headed for Tommy John surgery. We also spoke with Jonathan Smith, the head coach of Oregon State football, at a crossroads of that football program. Tom Pelissero joined us from behind a medical tent in Minnesota as the Vikings are going through, as he said, one of the final intra-squad scrimmages of the preseason. The Minnesota Vikings are taking on, let me get this right here, they're taking on the Cardinals, who were apparently going to flip Isaiah Simmons to the Giants for a seventh round pick. So Trey Lance isn't the only draft choice that was a first rounder that all of a sudden is changing teams potentially. At any rate, if you missed any of the first 2 hours, it's going to re-air right here on the Roku channel as soon as we're done with this hour. Susie Schuster sitting in Chris Brockman's spot. Good to see you, Suze.
Oh, good to see you.
Mike
Del Tufo.
It's only
been a couple hours.
How are you, Mikey D? Good to see you. And TJ Jefferson in his spot. And you're where you are at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. I've been fascinated by Jordan Love, because that is a major storyline going into this National Football League playing season. We talked about it with Steve Young yesterday, and Steve said he knows a thing or two about
backing up a legend.
Well, not backing up a legend, but replacing one, being the guy after the guy. Well, in Green Bay, he's the guy after the guy was after the guy. And you don't really want to be the guy after the guy, and Aaron Rodgers proves you can actually be that guy.
Don't forget,
I think everybody
Mikowski
might have made
too.
Sense on that front. So Matt Schneidman of The Athletic joining us here on The Rich Eisen Show to discuss this and more. How are you, Matt?
Rich, I'm a three-time guest on The Rich Eisen Show. I couldn't be doing any better.
I like it. Very good. Look at you. You're like Aaron Judge. You're going to hit three home runs. Fantastic. So what's the latest on Love? Is he going to play this weekend? What do you think?
Yes, he will play, as will, you know, his supporting cast on offense, and most of the starting defense will play as well. Matt LaFleur was talking this morning about just needing those guys, this young offensive core, to get as many reps as possible together, and also their lack of energy, lack of focus, slow starts, whatever you want to call it, in week one, the last couple seasons, kind of also factors into LaFleur's decision to play his starters. Now, Jordan told us yesterday he feels ready for week one already. He feels ready for week one and beyond. Anything he does against the Seahawks on Saturday isn't really going to change how he feels heading into Soldier Field week one. But it's just another opportunity for a couple more people to come on the Jordan Love bandwagon, baby.
Well, I mean, the first two preseason games have been, for me, enough that I need to see. And to know that he's not struggling. He's not trying to grasp things. He looks comfortable. What he did against Belichick's defense to start the second preseason game was, for me, all I needed to see. What do the Packers need to see other than just him getting more live game reps to put him out there?
You know, I saw the clip that your show account tweeted the other day, and I responded to it with the gift from my favorite Christmas movie of all time, Polar Express, with the conductor of Polar Express saying, "All aboard." Because it feels like there is some momentum coming along here of people are starting to realize he might be a guy. And I think what they want to see, getting back to your original question, is maybe for him to put together a complete performance. And I understand it's, you know, maybe only three series max, but against the Bengals in his first series He missed Luke Musgrave wide open on a crosser. He missed a screen to Musgrave, and then he comes back and leads a touchdown drive the next drive. Against the Patriots, scoreless first two drives. I believe he started 3 for 6. He played a part in a botched snap that the Patriots recovered on the first drive, but then he comes back and leads a 93-yard touchdown drive. So it's good that he's shown the ability to respond from slow starts, but maybe it'll be good to see him put together a complete three drives instead of starting slow. But the kid can throw the ball. He can move. I mean, I'm here at practice right now. I just saw the Packers run 2 triple options in like a span of 5 plays. I don't know what the hell they think they're doing right now, but it looks like Matt LaFleur is getting a little creative with a kid who can run at quarterback.
Getting in his bag, getting in his bag. And what's it been like watching him operate when not on the field?
You know, I asked him yesterday if he's been able to maybe take stock in where he is, the position he's in. Because after the first day of training camp, he was asked what kind of reception he got from fans. And he said, you know, I didn't really notice that. I was so locked in. And I asked him yesterday, at any point over the last 3-plus weeks, have you been able to take a breath and say, you know, this is pretty cool. I'm the starting quarterback. These fans are showing me love. And he hasn't really been able to. I mean, I have not seen anyone around here. Granted, I haven't been doing this for as long as some other people on this beat, but his temperament, his leadership, nothing seems to rattle him. And you brought it up earlier. He doesn't seem to panic. Now, on the field, off the field, everything seems calm. And who knows if he's going to be any good on the field, but all the intangibles, the makeup, how he's handling the pressure, the expectations, any chaos around him on the field, it seems like all that stuff is going to set him up for success.
Well, his first game at Chicago, where he can prove that ownership of the Bears just changed quarterbacks, right? And then at Atlanta, which is breaking in a first-time, full-time starter as well, he strolls into Week 3 opener against New Orleans, 2-0, and then takes on Detroit on that Thursday night. He'll be feeling the love in Green Bay, that's for damn sure, if that happens. And it's possible. You know,
they don't play a team that made the playoffs last year until Week 8, and that's the Vikings, who the Packers curb-stomped here in Week 17 last season. They start with those teams you mentioned, and then it's the Raiders on Monday night, Week 5. Then they have a bye Week 6. Then it's the Broncos Week 7. And then Week 8, it's the Vikings. Then the Rams Week 9. So this is a very favorable schedule for the Packers the first half of the season. Now the second half, there's the Chiefs, the Giants, the Chargers. But, you know, there is a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's a chance the Packers enter their bye in Week 6 at 4-1. 3-2, I think, would be successful. But if Jordan Love can not lose Packers games, if he can do enough to, you know, keep them in it, I think he's going to be an above-average quarterback. They have the talent around him to, you know, not only win this division, but maybe make a run in a what I think is a weak NFC conference.
The Athletic's Matt Schneidman, head of the Pack podcast host and beat writer of the Packers right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And one of the reasons why I thought it was set up for Love to succeed this year is last year with Rodgers and the young receivers and the conversation around that, even if we were half right about it, Love is a contemporary of these kids and might have spent more time in certain practice situations with these young receivers. And now we might see the fruits of the labor right there. Am I off? Close? What do you have for me if somebody who's on it on a daily basis?
Yeah, I don't think it can hurt, certainly. How often last season did we hear Aaron Rodgers say, you know, guys are missing routes, they're not breaking out of the routes at the right time, these young receivers don't know what they're doing? Now I'm paraphrasing there, but
yes.
We kind of heard the same thing on Hard Knocks this week when Randall Cobb kind of gave that speech to the Jets receivers about what Aaron expects. Now, I'm not saying Jordan doesn't expect that, but there isn't that monstrous gap between what the quarterback knows and expects and demands on an everyday basis, every minute from his decades in the league, to what the receivers can do. You know, in years past, they've been able to kind of mask that gap with the Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. Last year, they weren't able to because Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs were their top two guys, with all due respect to Alan Lazard. This year, everyone's kind of learning it together. And I think there's something to be said for that. I don't know if there was immense pressure on the Dobbs and Watsons last year to say, oh boy, we need to live up to what Aaron's asking or else he's going to get mad. But there's something to be said for letting the kids all figure it out together, whether it's chemistry-wise, energy-wise, or maybe it's just easier for them to learn it all without the aura of number 12 here standing over them. But by all accounts, it's gone well so far for those two position groups.
Speaking of Hard Knocks narratives, how are Packer fans dealing with Rodgers living his best life and apparently being invigorated by the youth as opposed to potentially chafing because of the youth? How's that hitting Cheesehead Nation?
Yeah, the response I've seen is that they're letting Jets fans have this honeymoon period because they think Jets fans are going to realize here in a little bit that, you know, it was honeymoon period for the Packers too. And then he got mad at the receivers and he started getting angry and all this stuff. But listen, anytime you have a bad breakup with an ex and then you see them go on to be happy, it's never great. So I think it might be a little insecurity from Packers fans, but there's only one number they care about, and that's 65. And if Aaron Rodgers plays 65.01% of the offensive snaps list this year, I don't think they'll care much about how happy he is on Hard Knocks.
No, I hear you. That means a first-round pick goes to Green Bay. Is it really a bad breakup with Packers fans or just with, you know, with Gutekunst and the FaceTiming and all that sort of stuff? Really?
Yeah, it's definitely more so with Brian Gutekunst, but I think Packer fans feel that Aaron should have done it in a more gracious way. I don't know. I will go to my grave. Now, he didn't tell me this specifically when I spoke with him earlier this offseason, but I will go to my grave thinking Aaron wanted to still come back to the Packers and finish his career, and it was the Packers who pushed them out. And then Aaron, after he realized he was done here, kind of then shifted his perspective to, okay, I want to go play for the Jets. Now I'm going to make it seem like I wanted to play for them all along. So I think that kind of twist from him, which he kind of had to do to not make it seem like it was just a one-sided thing, the Packers pushing him out, I think that has maybe rubbed Packer fans the wrong way a little bit. But as we talked about last time I was on, I think all will be forgotten in however many years when he comes back here and his jersey's retired and there are 80,000 or some odd fans filling Lambeau Field cheering him on. And, you know, time heals all wounds, and I think they'll remember all the good he did for this franchise someday.
Dude, Favre used the Jets as a transfer portal to get to the Vikings to get back at the Packers, and they, the Packers and Favre, still got back together in Lambeau Field.
Of course.
You know, and I know I guess money might talk on that front too, but come on. I mean, the Packers flew down to Favre to offer him his actual locker back when he thought they were coming to offer him his job back. That's how bad that breakup was, Matt.
And it was way worse.
And so this is nothing compared. Like, literally, the Favre breakup is holding the beer of what we're talking about right now. You know, so when it all comes down to it, though, I'm just wondering, like, here's Rodgers going to Broadway. Here's Rodgers going to Taylor Swift. Here's Rodgers, you know, smiling and talking about staying here for a while and handing things off to Zach Wilson. And here he is talking about how young this team is and how that has reinvigorated him. And I'm just wondering how that hit Packer fans. You know, it just is.
I think the Green Bay loyalists like to, they have a lot of pride in what there is to do around here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'll put it that way. So I think a couple of us, when we saw Rodgers gallivanting around New York City at I think he went to a car show. That's just because there's that stuff to do in New York and not here in Green Bay. So maybe that's why. But going back to your point about how different those breakups were, I mean, I wasn't here in 2008 for Favre because this is only my fifth season covering the team. But, I mean, Aaron got booed at family night, their big scrimmage inside Lambeau Field during the preseason, and Favre was in attendance. This year, Jordan Love gets resounding cheers when John Kuhn is interviewing him on the field after. So just in terms of a fan reception point, it was not only more contentious, but just awkward back then. And this time, it seems like there's a lot more energy and fan support going Love's way, which has to feel good for him. And I think it just speaks to the fact that the fans, too, were ready to turn the page on the Rodgers era, maybe not like they were 15 years ago.
Okay. When Mahomes comes to visit Green Bay in week 13, are they going to put his wife in the last row of Lambeau Field now that Love's taken over? Is that what's going to happen? Like a little turnabout? You know, Mahomes' family's going to sit in the top row?
Jordan Love's mom and his girlfriend back in Arrowhead, they were closer to touching the Lord than they were seeing their son on the field, or her son and her significant other on the field.
Yeah.
So that'll be funny to see if the Packers maybe try and get Brittany Mahomes back on that one.
Yeah, put him in the Upper Peninsula. You know what I mean? Just put it all the way. Just keep going. You know, let's do it. Thanks for the time, Matt. Great use of gallivanting. I caught that as well. Let's catch up when the season starts. I'd love to get your thoughts. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks as always, Rich.
You bet. That's Matt Schneidman of The Athletic right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Oh, if you know, Bridget Mahomes, right? Is that
Brittany. No,
Brittany. Pardon me. Brittany. My apologies, Patrick.
Brittany.
Brittany Mahomes?
She ain't going all the way up to the
top. Let's get her an oxygen tank because they're going to put her way up.
Yeah. I
don't think she's going to. Maybe she don't even go to the game. You have a much better view at home.
True. I want you to remember that when you always yell at me for not leaving the house. Just remember.
Great point by Matt, by the way. The Packers don't play a playoff team from last year until week 8.
Did not realize that.
But I always counsel, like, don't view the current schedule through the prism of last year. I mean, Detroit. If the Seattle Rams week 18 game didn't go the way Seattle needed, there were some, remember the crazy ass calls in that week 18 game too, that was leading to that final game. Detroit was a playoff team at the end of the last year.
Yeah.
So let's not forget that. New Orleans is definitely a team that,
you don't know.
You don't know. Denver, but the schedule is, compare this to Rodgers' first eight weeks. Go ahead. Let's do this. This is just for me. Certainly since Matt's like old Packer fans, they're all like, enjoy the honeymoon. All the Packer fans, enjoy that honeymoon.
You're going to know how good.
Because Aaron at some point is just going to be Aaron, and it's going to be ugly.
You're going to learn really quick how good
your
team is.
Look at this. How would Jordan love to take a bite out of this?
That is insane.
Come on.
Like Rich.
Forget about salty Tua. It's going to be salty Rich.
I'm already there.
Before the bye? That's like one of the
only teams that compare are Denver. That's it.
Yeah.
You realize what's going to happen if Rich's dream with the Jets goes south this Yankees series season?
Yeah.
It's going to be insufferable.
No, hold on a second.
You're going to be Costanza-ish. You're going to be in a toilet so long.
Excuse me. Brian Cashman, the general manager of the Yankees, yesterday rightfully called the Yankee season a disaster. The Jets season being a disaster
would be what?
I don't know. Like what? 6 wins? 7 wins? Even if like
that's
8 and 9?
First bank before the bye, Rich.
Excuse me, though. The Jets have the reigning offensive and defensive rookies of the year. They have Dalvin Cook to go along with Breece Hall if his knee is anything close to ready. They've got Quinnen Williams up front. They have a defensive-minded head coach that knows how to get that side of the ball ready, as evidenced by last year. They have Alan Lazard to go along with Randall Cobb and Mecole Hardman.
Offensive line.
Okay, it's up to the offensive line. They protect Rodgers. They should. Yes, with that 6-week start.
Would you go if you have three of those?
Mike, don't if or but me. I'm going to tell you, they should win four of their first six.
All right, I was going
to
say.
They should go to Dallas with all due respect and show Aaron Rodgers, I don't own the Bears anymore because I'm not with Green Bay, but there's still a team I do own.
Where are your losses? Oh, you haven't done it yet.
Look, man, I already gave you the W that week, okay?
Yeah.
So.
All right, I'm fired up.
He said Rodgers already got it.
I'm fired up.
Easy.
By the way, that's 17 Super Bowl championships you got to
pick. And the only thing, while I'm on a roll here.
Yeah, let's go.
Because I have given a nice wet kiss to the Packer Nation in terms of Jordan Love, because I do believe that about this kid. And LaFleur, and they have set it up. I'll just say this to Packers fans everywhere. Not everybody's going to be a Hall of Famer at the quarterback position, okay?
True that.
That's what I said to Brockman when Brady left New England. I said, on the day Brady went to Tampa and it became official, welcome to the rest
the
of
rest
us.
Of us. Yeah.
And this year, for Jordan Love, who I do believe will perform well, and I think the Packers have a shot at making the playoffs a good one. But there's going to be some ups and downs. They haven't felt at the quarterback position in a while. So if they, in Green Bay, as Matt Schneidman just pointed out, think Jets fans eventually will have the honeymoon spoiled by Rodgers' inevitable behavior, I'll just push back and say, at some point, your quarterback's not going to go into the Hall of Fame.
What's up?
And right from the get-go as well. Not from the get-go either.
I mean, we're thinking
Hall of Famers. You know, like,
by the way, don't just leave with the Brockman. There's someone else sitting over there who I love a lot, but she's also, that's also yeah. her team.
I so understand that.
Wait a minute. Are you coming for me?
No, not necessarily.
Coming for me?
No, your team, I'm
TJ,
saying.
Don't you dare.
You know, Susie, I would never.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I would never disrespect
wow.
you.
I've never seen him moonwalk like that.
But you are a Patriots fan, so I was just like, he could,
yeah, but
you know,
she's not nearly as obnoxious as Chris.
You want to put that genie back in the box, TJ?
No,
it's the bottle. It's a bottle. We talked on the way to work.
I know.
That your idioms are always off by a preposition or a noun.
See, now you're using words we don't understand.
Now he's coming at me over idioms and prepositions.
He's in a box.
Just because if your team doesn't win the Super Bowl, it's a colossal failure.
Well,
you're already sweating and flop sweating and like.
Not flop sweating.
No, I flop sweat. Real quick, though, there's only been two teams that have had back-to-back like Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the last like 30 years.
That's the Giants with Eli and Daniel Jones?
Yeah. San Francisco
yeah,
and
San
Green
Francisco.
Bay.
He just looked that up, by the way.
I did not. Adam and I talked about this the other day, and you can ask him. He'll type it in.
That's
we
fine.
Actually,
yeah,
no, it's hard. I know.
I didn't
that's
Google
what
that.
I'm saying.
I
it's rare.
Google that.
And at some point,
I'm a Montana guy.
With Tim Rattay. And Ken Dorsey,
it's
with
hard.
All due respect to them,
the it's hard
at some
to
point,
do that.
Your Hall of your quarterback is not
he's
going
gone.
To Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I hope for Jordan Love, I am wrong.
TJ.
But I'm just pushing back. Again, this is all because Matt Schneidman's like, yeah, you know what? We're sitting here saying to Jets fans or if Packers fans are like, at some point, the honeymoon's going to be over. So
we'll
let you have this hard knocks one.
When Aaron Rodgers stops gallivanting across Midtown.
Gallivanting. It was
a great word.
It's an underrated word, gallivanting.
I like to gallivant.
Let's take a break. We must gallivant to break.
As I lurk.
Let's talk. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch on their quarterback room coming up.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
So, I made reference to this earlier because Mike Hoskins alerted me to this. Kirk Cousins has new facial hair. Let's check it out.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. Very Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu.
Very
Rod Beck. He looks like Rod Beck.
I was going to go another reliever, Al Raboski. I'm going a little further back, the Mad Hungarian.
Mad Hungarian.
This is a choice.
Oh, yeah.
Suze, what if I came home with this?
I would murder you. Awful. It looks like he left their hair here, and then this is to wipe with the napkin when he drools or spills some spaghetti sauce.
Okay. That's your 2 cents on it?
I saw Rod Beck, too.
Al Raboski.
Okay.
That is an awful look. Who said to him, this is a great idea?
What if his wife did?
There's no chance she did.
Now, Rich says you are on record of liking his beard, right?
You like that? You like that?
Dude, Susie does not.
No.
That beard is ridiculous.
I thought Taylor didn't like it.
I like Rich's beard.
That's what I'm saying.
Taylor hates it.
Yeah.
She wants me to shave it all the time.
She thinks it's very, like, scratchy. Daddy, you look old. I think it looks great. We were talking about it. The girls and I were talking in the back. Because that interview that we showed in one of the commercial breaks with Larry David,
where I didn't have
a hair and a darker beard. Oh yeah,
okay. Yeah, Rich, you look good with it.
Thank you, guys. It's not what I'm going for. All I know is we need 8 more new facial hair individuals in the NFL.
Why? 8?
And because then they're going to get a power ranking. Because Arthur Smith right now is still 1 in the power ranking.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
We think this.
See your license and registration, please.
This is where he puts the rest of the NFC South. Banana in the tailpipe.
That looks like, would you like an extra large juice with your Cinnabon?
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Very look, Gene Takovic, right? To use more of that name that I had like thrown in my direction to make fun of me recently.
That, do you know why I pulled you over, mustache?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, that's the latest on the facial hair front in the NFL. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network's back on the air with our live stream here on the Roku channel. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, let's do it. We haven't done this all week long. Win-loss game, I believe a fan wants to play one. Corbin in Texas, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Corbin?
Hello, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to talk to you.
I appreciate you saying that. An honor to talk back to you, unless you're way off on your predictions that you're about to apparently have.
Well,
what do you want to do here, we'll Corbin? See. What do you want to do here?
I want to talk about Baltimore.
Okay. The Ravens?
All right.
Yes, sir.
And you want a win-loss game? You want to play the win-loss game on the Ravens?
I do.
Okay, very good. That means we need the schedule. Mike's already given it up.
Mike, the orchestra's ready.
Hoskins and Del Tufo. Here we go.
The
orchestra's ready.
Del Tufo paying attention.
All right.
Gotta love it.
First up, what's normally known as fresh meat in the NFL, a rookie quarterback making his first career start. C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans, week 1. What do you have?
I have Baltimore with a win.
Win. At the Bengals.
If Joe Burrow is healthy, I think Cincinnati wins.
Well, you just got to say the words win and loss. What do you got for me? Okay. Win or loss?
Loss.
Okay. Home for the Colts.
Win.
At the Browns.
Win.
3-1 at the Steelers.
Win.
4-1 against the Titans in London.
Win.
Home for the Lions.
Win.
That's a 5-game winning streak. That is now 6-1 at the Cardinals.
Win.
7-1 home for the Seahawks.
Loss.
7-2 home for the Browns.
A win.
I mean, I should have said that for you, right? I mean, you're not going to. No Ravens fans ever thinks they're losing to the Cleveland Browns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-2 against the Bengals on a Thursday night at home.
Win.
9-2 against the Chargers here in L.A.
He's 2-0 against them. They're going to win.
That's, what are they now, 10-2? Is that what you got now? Okay, against the Rams.
A win.
11-2 at Jacksonville.
Loss.
11-3 at the Niners on a Monday night.
Loss.
11-4 home for the Dolphins and Tua.
Win.
12-5 home for the Steelers.
They win.
13-5, Corbin in Texas. All right, cool.
Hey, Rich.
13-4, pardon me. 13-4. 13-4. My bad. 13-4. Yes, sir, Corbin.
I think Harbaugh knows, and I think he's tired of all the Mahomes, Allen, Joe Burrow chatter. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't he talk to management, say, give Indy, J.K. Dobbins, and whoever else they want in our backfield, and a first-round pick, let's get Taylor, we would be the cream of the crop in the AFC.
No, and a great question. Thank you, Corbin, for the call. I just don't think the Ravens are paying their quarterback all of that cash. They gave Odell Beckham Jr., what, $15 million with incentives? And they've got all the running backs that they have there? Nah, I don't think they're doing that.
1 year, 18.
Yeah.
13.8 signing bonus.
Jeez. Yeah, they're not doing that. They like what they've got, and they're going to go to work with an offense nobody knows what it's going to look like. 13-4. That would be quite a season for the Ravens.
I mean, everyone
that's like one seed type material.
Everyone who's picked callers, they've really, and our guests, they've really, I think they have high hopes for their teams.
No, that's where it goes.
I mean, I picked Dallas at what, 11-6, and now I'm like, let
me get this one right because I wrote it down. Hold on a minute. Nick in Corona, who had the Denver Broncos 15-2. Well, Jerry Jeudy just got carted off of practice.
Oh no.
Oof.
A cart called for Jerry Jeudy. Never know. We're hoping. It's a hamstring.
Okay. Well,
so
the knees.
But that is definitely not with a hamstring injury carted off 2 weeks before the season kickoff. The Chiefs and the Lions, that would, I would think, put his readiness home for the Vegas Raiders, at least in week one, in jeopardy, but it's for later on. Let's talk a little bit more about the San Francisco 49ers' decision to start the season with Sam Darnold as their backup quarterback. You could see it coming. You could see it coming down the pike. And I just always want to root for everybody, right? And so but Trey Lance in particular, he had us at hello here on the show, and he was with us in Arizona at the Super Bowl. He was our first guest that Super Bowl week, and him talking about, I just want to compete. I'm happy to compete. I know I'm the third overall pick in this draft from a couple years ago. That doesn't earn me anything. I'm going to go there and compete. I'm going to get better. You know, health-wise, and I'm going to go compete. And that video went viral because Niner fans were like, attaboy.
Yep.
And then Sam Darnold shows up after that.
Cool.
And I'm like, do they have Sam Darnold there as Purdy insurance or Lance insurance? That's been the question I've asked literally everybody.
Yeah.
And how many of the information men and women who have been on the show have said both? But at the time, it was probably Lance insurance. Because Lance might have been the Purdy insurance. Or it's always been Lance insurance. That they just figured Purdy's going to be the guy. And if he's not, we're going to go with somebody who's got a lot of experience because we just don't know if Lance is going to be ready. Mm-hmm. Just don't know. And the kid has just had nothing but bad luck. COVID in his final year as a collegiate. Hurt his finger in the final preseason game of his first year, and it messed him up for his rookie season. Yeah. But Jimmy G was there anyway, and the concept of Lance coming in was he's going to maybe be the red zone guy. Jimmy G will matriculate down the field, and then Kyle Shanahan and his offense and all his bag of tricks inside the 10, Lance is going to get in. And Lance threw again the first touchdown pass of the year in his rookie season for the Niners because they brought him in the red zone. And then Jimmy G just took it over. And Lance, in his one shot when Jimmy G was hurt, he got a little dinged up himself again. And it was Jimmy G's show. And then they were going to start the season with Lance come heck or high water and signed Jimmy G as Purdy insurance. Mm-hmm. Because Lance was their guy. And if Lance couldn't go, what are they going to go with, the last pick in the draft?
No.
So Jimmy G was brought on as Purdy insurance and wound up being Lance insurance. And then Purdy wound up being
the guy.
The man. So coming into this season, it's going to be Purdy, and they needed to have somebody there in case Lance wasn't going to be ready, in case Purdy wasn't going to be ready, and it turned out to be Sam Darnold, who now has the job over Lance. And I think if Lance didn't get hurt last year, they were ready to go with the ups and downs that come with a kid quarterback just to see what they have in him. And if somehow, some way, middle of the season, it was so bad, in comes Jimmy G, because we're not going with Purdy. And that got blown up. So here was Kyle Shanahan on local radio yesterday about what is this one about right now? If Lance is going to be a Niner still in week one, because they do love him, but not love him enough to send him out there against the Steelers if Purdy somehow gets knocked out in week one. Here was the answer from Shanahan there.
I'm really hoping so. I mean, this isn't a thing that we're giving up on Trey. This is more of how Brock played in his seven games, and that was decided before the season started. And then how good Sam's looked. They both looked good. But we do have to make a decision here, and you only get so many reps at it, and we feel you know, starting about 10 days ago, Sam really separated himself, and we got to keep it real in that way. But mm-hmm. I feel very, very fortunate to have both of them here. I really hope when it's said and done that all three of these guys are here, and you never know when that's going to come up. We needed four guys last year. Doesn't happen much, but if we can have Trey as an option here, I would feel extremely happy about that. We'll always try to do right for Trey. If there's a better situation that his heart's in and something like that, we're going to make sure not to do something that hurts him in that way. So that's stuff that I talked to him about this morning. That's stuff I'll talk to him about tonight and continue to talk to him about. But Trey knows how I feel about him. And I hope he ends up being able to be here, and that's the best thing for him. But we got to see what is the best thing from now until then.
I mean, say what you will. Kyle Shanahan let him know as soon as he knew. And I know there's a lot out there of people thinking either – you know, I think RG3, who's on tomorrow's show, tweeted out Shanahan knew the minute they signed Darnold. I don't know about that. We'll talk about that with Robert.
Does this then go down, if this is the outcome, as one of the worst trades in NFL history?
Well, again, the answer to that has to be no, because the draft is such a crapshoot, and neither of the coach or general manager is going to lose his job over it. Normally, you make a move like that, the coach and GM are out. Unless you can sign someone like Aaron Rodgers. Think about it. The Jets earned the second overall pick in the same draft and took Zach Wilson, and that didn't work out to the point where they're like Aaron Rodgers is coming in, and the GM and the coach who have been there the last 2 years, they're in a good stead. The reason why Shanahan and Lynch are in good stead with Jed York, and for many reasons, is they made the NFC Championship game the last 2 years with all this stuff going on. So it hasn't torn the franchise asunder. And you heard what he said about if Trey has his heart in something, that they're going to do their best to give it to him. That means finding something else. I don't think they've made it known. Is it possible they're going to let his representation seek a trade to where he wants to go? One person who I think would counsel against that, because he does believe in Shanahan's ability to know what quarterbacks can do and help that quarterback become better, is Steve Young, who was on the show in the first hour yesterday before this news hit, but read the writing enough on the wall about Darnold mm-hmm. and his standing to say this about what Lance should do moving forward.
My advice is claw your way to stay here, because again, there's a lot of places that he would go that he's not going to find out those answers, and he's going to flail because he doesn't have the opportunity. And so just figure out a way to stay here, so he can continue to develop in a place, or if it is somewhere else, you know, just pray that it's one of those, you know, a dozen teams that can take care of quarterbacks.
Now, maybe he does have the ability to decide where he goes next. Because as you heard Steve Young say, pray that it winds up being a spot where they take care of quarterbacks. I don't know if the Niners would just say, doesn't matter, we'll take the highest draft choice we can get, because, man, did we spend a whole ton of draft capital just to go draft him. They might, as you heard Shanahan say, and he's, honestly, how many times do I say it's like a coach on sodium pentothal, right? And didn't Young say that yesterday? Like, Kyle Shanahan just tells you what he's thinking.
Yeah.
So it's possible they're going to let him decide. You heard Tom Pelissero say in hour one, Minnesota would be good. Kevin O'Connell is the guy who comes from the Shanahan system through McVay, meaning Mike, big Mike Shanahan. Obviously, Kyle does as well. And who are the people that can't quit Kirk Cousins, according to Daniel Jeremiah, every time he comes on? Everybody from this system. Even Mike Florio was saying, I should say even Mike, but Mike Florio said, in addition, is what I meant by even, in addition, has said all the time, Kirk Cousins is going to pop free and Shanahan in San Francisco is going to be all over him
right.
If Purdy doesn't work out. So who would be able to take Lance in than Kevin O'Connell with Kirk Cousins right there? Maybe that's where you go. And he's from Minnesota as well. John Lynch this very morning talked about Lance's trade market. This is Lance locally in San Francisco.
That's probably the most likely option, is that he's here. If we could find a landing spot for Trey that is a really good one for him and, you know, works for our organization, that's not something we turn a blind eye to. But that's not where our focus is right now. I think our focus is on Trey getting back here and us being the best football team. We're getting close to Pittsburgh, and that's kind of where we're at.
And, John, I saw another report yesterday from Diana Russini from ESPN, who reported that you guys have been shopping Trey Lance as far back as the NFL draft. So I just wanted to give you a chance to address that report and whether or not you guys have had Trey Lance on the trading block for the last couple of months.
That's not accurate. So, look, at that. People are going to – if I responded to every report, I'd have no time in my day. But that is not accurate.
That's Lynch, John Lynch, obviously. My Hall of Fame friend. Hey, you might be sitting there saying they don't know what they're doing, right and left hander don't know what they're doing. If you're the coach who's all about quarterbacks, like, I feel for the kid. We're going to try and do our best to help him out and get him to a spot if his heart's in it. And the general manager's like, hey, we're 2 weeks before going to Pittsburgh. I'm going to have the best team out there. And last time we were in the state of Pennsylvania, I had to play a fourth quarterback on our roster. And then the running back running and McCaffrey back. Had to run, Wildcat. And then we brought back a one-armed Brock Purdy. So, yeah, we're going to have Lance on this team. Because that is making the Niners better. That's the reality of this whole situation. So I know you asked, like, is it a big bust? I don't know. The kid's 23. He has hardly played. If he winds up in his home state of Minnesota and winds up being the Minnesota Vikings quarterback of the future, because the coach knows exactly what to do with the quarterback in this system.
Yep.
And then the Niners, you'll say, well, you blew it on him. Except, I don't know. Brock Purdy's pretty damn good. And we were going to do it with him if he wasn't carted off in his second year here in the second game. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's 824. That means one thing in Los Angeles, Kobe Bryant Day. We'll wrap the show up with that.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
There's about a 0% chance that I come back and play.
Zero. You're toast. You're finished.
Done.
As a player.
That's it.
Did last year at any point with you going through your first season not playing basketball?
Never.
Not once did you think about it?
Never. Here's the thing. for us athletes, it's really hard to transition from that, right? And I was really personal about it when I wrote Dear Basketball. But that is the true challenge of finding what comes next and finding something that you love to do every bit as much as you love your first passion. That is a challenge for us. And I think, unfortunately for us athletes, we've been pigeonholed into thinking that we can only be one thing. And so when I retire, everybody is saying, okay, he's too competitive. He's not going to know what to do with himself. He's going to have to come back. I took that as a personal challenge of them thinking I'm this one-dimensional person, that all I know is how to dribble the ball, shoot the ball, and play basketball and compete at that level. And so I took that as a personal challenge. I will never come back to the game, ever. I'm here to show people that we can do much more than that. And creating this business, winning an Oscar, winning an Emmy, and an Annie, those are things that are showing other athletes that come after, no, no, there's more to this thing, right? So I would never, it's not even a, not even a thought.
So the goal was an EGOT? You want the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar,
no,
the
know,
Tony?
The challenge became, how do I take the lessons that I learned through the game of basketball and translate them into building the studio, right? What are the things that I can take from that? The discipline, the commitment, the team and community, how do you get the best out of each other? How do I take those lessons and move those here? That is the challenge. How do we do great work, uncompromising great work? You're not looking at the bottom line. You're focused on the product first, right? Is this the best thing that we can possibly make, no matter what? And having that sharp focus is something that I got from the game of basketball.
That was 5 years ago today, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on 824 day, Kobe Bryant day. It was yesterday. Kobe would have been 45 years of age. And I'll forget Susie Schuster walking in New York City. Was it 2 days before our wedding? 3 days before our wedding on Central Park South, right?
Yeah.
And we ran into a friend of yours, and his name was?
His name was Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah. And I had just done a SportsCenter commercial with him like 2 years before. It was literally like 90 minutes of his time. And the two of you like stopped like old friends on the street. You invited him to our wedding.
Well,
remember.
I had to.
I know. Because you did that with Michael Irvin, I think the day before. I wasn't with you with Irv. Irv showed. Kobe said, I don't think I'm going to be in town. But you gave him an invite to the wedding.
I did. Michael, of course, didn't miss it, and he showed up on the record, but he was my guest, of course.
Right, that's true. He showed up in an electric blue tuxedo, but this is not 8-8 for Michael Irvin Day. This is 8-24 for Kobe Bryant Day. So what's your favorite memory of Kobe when you covered him and got to know him and befriend him?
I was with him almost every night for 3 years, mm-hmm. but my favorite memory is the first day that I showed up at Lakers practice and my first day at Fox Sports, mm-hmm. because I had just covered him and done a piece on him for Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, my last job before I got my Fox job.
Right.
And he looked at me, he's like, what are you doing here? I said, I'm on the air now. This is my new gig. And he was so great about it. And he was so excited for me, gave me a big hug. You know, I was new in L.A. People wondered why I knew him and how I knew him. And he never said no. There was one time where he was like, Suze, like, you can't do this to me. It was right after one of the Shaq-Kobe fisticuffs, fights in the back kind of thing, mm-hmm. scuffling, would you might say. But he was always great and always took the time to do interviews, and it was because we'd had a bond from when I had done the Real Sports piece. And so I watched him grow up here, and I watched him because of having covered him before. I watched him mature and go through the different processes. And obviously Shaq talks about it all the time when he's on with me. I saw a lot of what happened behind the scenes and chose to share some and chose to shelf others. But, you know, my favorite memory was running into him on a court recently or before he passed. And I went to go to a game and he was there with one of the girls, and we just sat there and we just laughed. I had the boys there, our boys.
Thank you.
And we looked at each other, we're like, can you believe this happened? Like, look at all these kids. But I never had a bad moment with Kobe Bryant. I loved covering him. It was an honor and a privilege. We spoke Italian sometimes in the locker room. I thought he was just the greatest. And I think it's nice that the Lakers are going to unveil the statue on 2-8. It was Giannis' number was 2. And so on February 8th, when the defending champions, the Nuggets, are in town for a game, they will unveil the statue out front. And Vanessa made that announcement today on the Lakers social media account. And he belongs out there with the Laker greats.
And his daughter, again, wore 2 for February and 8, obviously, for him. And so what should the in our minute we have left, what should the statue be? Should it be his follow-through? Should it be...
On the way up, I think it's him soaring, don't you think, TJ? Wouldn't it be him soaring?
Maybe him shooting that fadeaway.
Fadeaway in the corner?
But does the statue, is it young Kobe with the fro? Is it older Kobe? Is it 8? Is it 24? That's what I'm interested to seeing.
Okay, I'm going to guess seeing. It's going to be 8 on the front and 24 in the back.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that.
That would be sick.
How about him waving off Karl Malone in his first All-Star game?
I got it.
Or the day he stopped and looked at me wearing a Clippers shirt. I was sitting courtside one time and looked at me and said, "Are you crazy?" That was the only interaction I've ever had with Kobe Bryant.
He would wave off Karl Malone in the locker room. That was the weirdest.
That was a wild team.
That was a weird combo.
Yeah. But I hope it is like of his follow through. I don't know. But you think soaring in the air?
Look, he always loved Mike. He wanted to be like Mike. He modeled himself after Mike. And I just think he was happiest soaring. That's just me.
Great show. Great show, everybody. I want to thank Tom Pelissero and Jonathan Smith of Oregon State Football and Jeff Passan and obviously Matt Schneidman of The Athletic. RG3 will be on tomorrow's show. Suze will be back as well. We hope you will, too. Happy Kobe Bryant Day wherever you are, everybody.
For over 3 decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.